The children's shows are preparing you to accept the next level of information. So then when you get to kindergarten and start school, the children's shows have already prepared you to sit in this little square room and react just like a bunch of Pavlov's dogs. Every time the bell goes off, you stand up and shuffle into the next room. You're learning how to cooperate with the system. And so then you're expected to go and get your job, work for your paycheck, watch the news, and just believe everything you're told.
This episode of the Sharpening Report. I'm your host, Sam Johnston. We're found on YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sam T. Johnston. Well, it's all about perception. It's how do we form our opinions? In a world with mixed messages constantly getting thrown at us, it is really hard to figure out what is the proper way to look at the world. And as you do more research and dive into more topics, especially when you get into the fringe world, you start realizing that the world is not what it's set up to supposed to be, and it triggers a really difficult change in a lot of people's minds, and it can be challenging, especially if you start to do it alone. You're not really sure where to turn, and there's lots of people all around you trying to tell you what reality is, and it's just a difficult process. So joining me today is Thomas Johnston. He is one of the most influential people that have to do with the Sharpening Report. He's my father, and he is very wise. He's going to be talking about the process of waking up and what to do with everything going on that's being thrown at you constantly, and how Satan likes to try to throw you off track. So without further ado, Mr. Johnston, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate coming on the show. The reason that we're having the show today and not on Friday, and the reason we missed the Friday show, is because we had some technical difficulties. So my dad kind of saved me here. But anyway, really excited to have him on.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have the opportunity.
Yeah. So we're talking about waking up and how you form perceptions, and you actually have done a lot of really good research on this, I mean, and have led many people through the process.
Well, I have. Waking up is, it's a process. It's not something like one day you can be a total brain-dead normie walking through life with not a care and thinking everything is fine. And the next day, all of a sudden, you realize, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong, and you go and figure it out. You know, it's a process that takes a lot of time. It usually has some kind of a triggering event. For a lot of people, it was 9/11. A lot of people looked at 9/11. And heard what the government told us, how it was terrorists, and there's 19 of them, and they're from the Middle East, from Saudi Arabia, yet we attack Iraq. And just the whole thing didn't make any sense. I mean, how could airplanes fly, you know, at a speed that's physically incapable through the thickness of the lower atmosphere, hit into a steel building when an airplane is just an aluminum, basically a thin aluminum envelope? And yet they expect us to believe it can penetrate through a steel and concrete building and leave a cartoon-shaped hole as it goes in, and then the guy's passport comes out totally unscathed on the other side. You know, I mean, the whole narrative that they are giving us is so preposterous that it's almost like they want us to know that they're lying. So that just creates a sense of confusion in people when they turn on what they thought was a trustworthy news source on the television, or their pastor at church, or whoever else they see as an authority figure, and they get this narrative that doesn't really match with what their senses are telling them. So the question is, what is really going on? How do we determine what truth is in this day of deception? And, you know, how do we conduct ourselves? How do we live in this world? The Bible says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. So that's a seemingly fine distinction, but, you know, it can be difficult to, in practicality in everyday life, to understand where do we fit in and how do we react to these things.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with times like Christmas coming up, people don't know how to dance around holidays. It's because some people say, avoid them like the plague because they're full of pagan rituals. And other people say, ah, it's fine. It's just for fun. It's how do you And then the double mixture of trying to say, get rid of the Christ in Christmas, and then there's really not a whole lot of Christ in Christmas to begin with, so maybe that's okay. It's so confusing with everything going on that it's hard to find out what truth actually is.
It is hard to find out, and it's meant to be that way, because the people who are in control, let's just call them they or them, just for lack of a better term. I mean, this program is not, today is not necessarily to identify who we think might be the controllers, who's running the world, who's doing all these things. I think it seems obvious to anyone that is paying attention that there is something going on that somebody is in control of, that things basically are like they are because somebody somewhere wants them that way. And the best way to control people is to keep them confused and not knowing which way is up, what's truth, you know. You're always kind of reacting. You never quite know what to do. And so that's the best way to keep people under control. So Christmas is a real good, is a good example, because you want to honor the Lord. You're told it's Jesus' birthday, and you know we want to celebrate it. He's the gift to humanity. He brought salvation to the world. So naturally, we would want to honor the Savior on his birthday. But I think the key phrase in your question was people say. Yes, people say a lot of things, and if you make your determination on how the world works based on what people say, then that's where you're making a mistake, because people say things for many reasons. People will say things for an agenda reason. People will say things just because they heard somebody else say it that they think is smart, and they thought, hey, that sounds right. I think I'll say that. And, you know, it's the only way to really determine what's true, what's right, is to do your own research. I mean, we've said that a lot on this show. I think Sam repeats it almost every week, every time he has a guest on that brings information to the audience. We always say, you know, don't really just take our word for it. Do your own research. And Christmas is a really good example, because Jesus wasn't born on the winter solstice, you know. I mean, you can look in the Bible, and it kind of shows by the feasts that were going on, by the fact that they had to pay taxes. And there's various ways to determine what season was Jesus born in, number one. Number two, you can look at the idea of the solstice and the equinoxes is kind of a esoteric idea, kind of a witchy thing where they use these times of years for their own rituals and purposes. That can kind of be a tip to you. So basically, if you look into it, you can see that basically this is a feast of Tammuz in Nimrod and Semiramis is where this feast originated. And it really has nothing to do with Jesus. And in essence, what the society has done is fooled us into celebrating a pagan deity on a time when we think we are celebrating Jesus, but we're really not. So what does that all mean? I think it means that these forces that control the world are able to manipulate people's consciousness. And when you participate in these big group events, whether it's a holiday, a sporting event, one of these mass shootings or anything like that, somehow this group can use this mankind's consciousness to their own ends. And so it's important to be individuals, which is the whole tradition of the Abrahamic religions, is to be individuals as we relate to God. So in the Old Testament, we needed a priest, like the Levites would be the people that would relate directly to God, and they had to do sacrifices and all these other things. But because we live in the New Testament times, we have direct access to the Lord through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are mentored by the Holy Spirit. So if we look into our Bibles ourselves, not take, you know, somebody else's word of what it says, we can find out things that are what is true and what is not true. So it's kind of a long-winded answer, and it's a process. Any question that you have, you can determine the answer, you know, by looking in the Bible, by understanding the general ideas of the Bible. It might not necessarily, you know, say on Tuesday and Wednesday you must do this week or something like that. It's not specific like that. It deals with ideas. It deals with the kingdom laws. and what the individual believer is expected, how we are expected to fit into that. So again, the Lord told us to live in the world, but not of the world. So by rejecting these forced narratives and determining the truth for ourselves through the mentorship of the Holy Spirit and by reading the Word of God and really prayerfully reading it and understanding what it says, that's how we can gain wisdom and insight and really start to understand what is truly going on around us.
Yeah, that's a big reason why Jesus talked in parables, because you can get bigger ideas across without actually nailing it down to specifically like what you're supposed to do every single day. And a lot of things, when you start to open up your eyes to what's going on, there's people out there that are set up at each stage to kind of control where your mind at. They're often called like gatekeepers. And something that you and I have talked about before. So can you kind of explain what those are and what the purpose is?
Yes, I can. Of course, as we wake up, we say, again, 9/11 is a good example. So say, you know, when 9/11 first happened, everybody was in shock. So we looked to the government, who's the authority, to tell us what happened. They told us, they gave us this story, and right away it kind of is weird, but you know, you're like, you're in shock. So you just kind of accept it. But then as time goes on, and you realize, well, wait a minute, you know, how could Building 7 fall down so many hours after the fact? And how could all this stuff, all this weird stuff start? You realize that the thing doesn't make sense. So what the controllers do is they set up groups. Like, I'm not saying any particular group is a control factor, but probably most of them are. So there's groups like 9/11 Truth Societies and Engineers for Truth and Lawyers. And, you know, it's got all these catchy slogans. And what they do is they get a control person or group in there to attract people who are starting to suspect that something's wrong. Because it's natural for human beings to want to group together with people that are like-minded. So you can kind of compare notes and say, hey, I noticed this doesn't make sense. What do you think? And there's just a comfort in discussing these matters with other people. So that's a natural aspect of human nature. And these people that run this world, they are fully aware. They've been studying human nature for an eternity. They know exactly what makes us tick. They know what kind of control mechanisms they can introduce into the society and how various people will react. So they set up, say, media alternative media outlets, we'll say. And I want to try and be careful not to name any names, because my goal here is not to besmirch anybody's reputation. I'm just a guy up here in Michigan. You know, I'm a carpenter. I'm just telling you what I see from my experience. So I don't really know any of these people. I don't know who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. So it would be wrong for me to try and name names. But just to think about the setup, when you're waking up, you're going to realize that, you know, why would I watch network news anymore? Because the things they're telling me aren't true. So you go, wow, that's a realization. So you go to another source of news and you pick up another alternative source who's telling you things that you know and things that you found out. And then you go, wow, okay, this guy gets it. So now you've elevated up to this next level with people who have a degree of understanding. So that platform was already there waiting for you to get there, because they don't want you to get to the ultimate top. Who is ultimately in charge and what can you do about it? Because when we start finding that out as individuals, that's when we can actually change the world. And that's their fear, because there's not very many of them. They control the media, education, and, you know, entertainment and things like that. But there's not very many of them. So they really count on keeping people fooled, keeping people afraid, keeping people apart. So a show like yours is extremely important, because it's going to bring people of, again, people of like minds together. And as far as members of the media goes, you're probably the only one I trust, because I've known you for, well, your whole life. So, but seriously, it's really that bad. There probably are good members of the media. There probably are people that are really trying to bring truth and trying to enlighten the masses and helping out. But again, how do you know? You really can't know. So you cannot, I would say, don't trust anybody. Don't believe anyone. Make up your own mind, do your own research, and always cross-reference it with the ideas of the Bible. So that's, you know, that's the best way I can explain to stay out of trouble and to try to keep yourself focused on the right things in life. And another thing that they do is they have programming. They have your mind programmed to accept the messages that they know they're going to deliver you. So it starts out when you're a baby, believe it or not, watching children's shows. The children's shows are preparing you to accept the next level of information. So then when you get to kindergarten and start school, the children's shows have already prepared you to sit in this little square room and react just like a bunch of Pavlov's dogs. Every time the bell goes off, you stand up and shuffle into the next room, and you don't really ever get any good information. You never really learn anything that's empowering. You're learning how to cooperate with the system. So as you age and go through school, that's basically the lesson that you're given, is how to cooperate with the system, how to be a good boy and not cause any trouble. And so then you're expected to go and get your job, work for your paycheck, watch the news, and just believe everything you're told. But again, once you start waking up, the idea of waking up, then you got to find some other group to belong to. So again, these people know that that's what we desire. They have it all set up. So all we got to do, you get up into this next level group. Now you're with all these really hip people who know what's going on. You can sit there and talk about how smart you all are and how you figured it out. And the big guys upstairs are just sitting there laughing at you.
Yeah. It's really interesting when you look at all the different ways that you fall into categories like this. And the idea of them forcing us into different groups on by the way we think. I mean, even if you get to the very like surface level of Democrat and Republican, that is a type of group that they put you in to make you think a certain way, so you don't go any deeper. Like, oh, I'm surrounded by people that agree with me. I must be right. I don't have to worry about it. And then you kind of start to realize that both of those parties are corrupt to the bone, and you want to go somewhere else. And then you find some other group of people. And with usually what happens is that group of people says another group of people is the enemy, and you need to right. avoid them at all costs. Because if you actually get together with the other group and have a good discussion, you'd learn that they're people too, and they have their own concerns, their own ideas. And so that is just another part of the control structure, is to make people enemies of each other by forcing them into certain groups at different levels of cognitive thinking.
That is true. And the fact of Democrats and Republicans is just a way, not only is it a way to put you in a group, but it's the training of making you want to be in a group. So that's what they're reinforcing all through your early life, is your desire to belong to a certain group, to call your identity. Literally, your identity is what kind of group. You know, think about when you were in school, you know, high school especially is very cliquish. So you're taught at that age, you're searching for your identity, and just socially, what group you fit in is kind of how you identify what kind of a person you are. So that is a natural tendency of mankind, to group up like that. It's scary to be out here all by yourself, you know, to not have anybody watching your back and to do your own thinking. It's, you know, it's very... it can be lonely. It can be frightening. And they know that. So they want to make sure that any lone wolf who is out there doing his own thinking is going to pay that price of loneliness and basically being an outcast in society. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants that.
No, definitely not. And that's, I read a comment on one of my videos that I really liked, is they talked about how this channel is kind of a doorway to different thinkers and different people doing different things kind of all over the platform and all in many different groups. And I really like that, because that's what I want the Sharpening Report to be, is an opportunity for people from all over the board, many different groups, many people different thinking different things, to come on and just talk about what they're viewing, so we can kind of break down some of the barriers in each group and come together and actually learn what truth is. And that's why I have people who maybe not be Christians on this show, or who maybe more liberal thinking, even, to to just share what they're going through and what they're seeing from their perspective so we can find the ultimate truth and the one truth, because there is only one truth, and obviously we can find it in scripture, but people are called to focus on different things and learn different things. And so it's important to kind of get a feel for each of those.
That's true. And I think the important thing you said there about your show is that you want to have the truth. You are willing to let other people shine so the truth can come out. I mean, that's one good way that you can, that a person can try to decide on the veracity of their source of information. Is this source of information, say it's a media person or a news program, do they always talk about themselves? Are they always talking about how everyone's against them? They're doing this to me. They're doing that to me. Yeah, you all got to come over and support me. You know, is that a news program, or is that a rallying cry? Is that a search for truth, or is that a search for a audience or a power base? I mean, that's important what you just said. So I think that I would urge anybody that's watching this show right now to take that to heart. And any host or any podcast or show who has that attitude, I would say that's a good place to start in looking for truth, as a person who doesn't have the agenda, who's not trying to build themselves up or make themselves look good, but are trying to serve the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the truth is absolute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So as we continue on our conversation of finding our identity and really waking up and the process of waking up, a lot of people are, like you said, are doing it alone. They you know, learn this piece of information, look around, and no one will listen to what they have to say. They're completely outcast. And that's another tool by Satan as well, is to keep people separated. It's like, do we join a group or do we not join a group? Where's the line here?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, how many of us who consider ourselves awake have learned something really that we consider really interesting, and we just want to tell somebody, you know? So who are you going to tell? Well, you're going to tell your family, because that's who you love, right? So you're going to go to your family and say, oh man, you got to check this out. I just learned whatever. And then you tell them, and it's something important, you know, something that could really affect their life, the way they make their decisions or whatever. And they look at you like you're crazy, or you got two heads or something like that. It's pretty discouraging, and it can be very isolating. But again, you know, go back to the Bible. Isn't that what Jesus said that would happen to us if we seek the truth, that we would be isolated? They hated him before they hated us, right? So, I mean, that's kind of what we should expect. And that's part of the programming, is we are told that when we come into this world that this is just a happy, wonderful place, and we're just here to be happy and loved and all fulfilled and get our stuff and have big houses. You know, I mean, these mega churches, they make a killing with that kind of a message. But I don't really see that message in the Bible, certainly not in the New Testament. I mean, you could extrapolate it perhaps that in the Old Testament, God showed favor to those who were faithful to him. I mean, Solomon being the best example, probably was the richest man in the world. And I think why? Because he was faithful to God. He followed in his father's footsteps, and he served the Lord in all his ways, and the Lord was pleased with him, and he rewarded him with material wealth, with wisdom. But keep in mind, when Solomon, I mean, the Lord asked him specifically, Solomon, I will give you whatever you want. What is it that you want? And he knows he's talking to the creator of the universe. He could have said, well, gee, I'd like to have my own planet, or, you know, any kind of material wealth or influence or anything. But he said, no, I would like wisdom, Lord, so I can rule your people the way you would have me do it. And the Lord was so pleased with him, that's how he ended up being so wealthy and so blessed in materials. And I think there's a big lesson there. Again, we should get our information directly from God. We should not, we should not impose people's opinions are when we are trying to figure out what the truth is. Truth is absolute. The lie can be anything it wants. It can wiggle around a little bit of truth, and it can lie to us, and it can sound pretty good. And, you know, I've known people who lived a whole life based on a lie just because it sounded good and they thought it was good. And they're basically good-hearted people trying to do the right thing as they see it, but they didn't put enough effort into actually understanding, you know, what really is at the basis of this, what's really going on here. So, again, the programming is always trying to mislead us into the simplest, easiest, most materialistic kind of answer to any question we have. It's trying to make us believe that a successful human being will be popular and will have lots of friends, will have a nice career and lots of money. And, you know, it's just that is just not true. That's a lie. And people, how many people die in frustration either trying to attain those things, never being able to get there and die in frustration, or worse yet, how many people attain it and realize what an empty victory it is to just get stuff after all this work? When we're here, this is a mission field. I like the saying that, you know, we're told we're born on a cruise ship and we're just here to have a good time, but that's not really the way it is. We're actually born on a battleship, and this is a fight, and we need to get to it. So,
yeah, it's even a message that is reiterated by Solomon when he has everything. He looks around and is like, "What's the point of having all this stuff? It doesn't fulfill me. Everything's meaningless." In the sense that if you just look for worldly things, you're never going to be fulfilled in that. But that doesn't really answer the question of, are we supposed to spend our whole lives alone then if people aren't going to listen to us? Or, you know, because God obviously calls us to be involved with the community. What are the steps that to take to get to a point where we're not alone on this battlefield?
Well, I would say that just as in anything in life that's worth having or worth doing, it takes initiative to take that first step. And so asking the question is a good first step, but then it takes the action. And I think the action that we've decided and has been working quite well is to start a small group, something in your home. Just invite one or two friends over on a regular basis. Make it a something that you put a priority on, that you're going to make sure that you follow through and do every week, at least once a week. Get together, pick a topic, current event topic, and relate it back to the Bible, and just start reading your Bible, start praying together as a group, and just creating a small group of believers who are determined to get to the truth. And if you do that, just as the Lord honored Solomon's request for wisdom. I think it's in James. I'm not the best Bible quoter as far as where the verse is, the chapter and verse and stuff, but the idea of it I'm pretty conversant with, that the Bible says, I believe it's in James, that if you're a teacher, that you're held to a higher standard. And so you really need to be careful as a teacher. And it also says that if you ask for wisdom, as Solomon did, that is something the Lord will never refuse. So I always tell people to ask for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. I read that and I was taught that when I was a child, I think. And that literally has been my prayer my whole life, is to, you know, Lord, show me what's what. Give me the wisdom. It says that if I ask for wisdom, you will not deny me. And he really doesn't. I mean, he just opens things up and he'll explain things to you in other words, he'll respect your effort put forth to understand him. He will respond to that with an effort of opening up truth so you can understand. And he'll do it in a very individualistic basis. We've had studies on particular topics where we've had questions. How does this work? What is involved here? And literally, through the course of several weeks, being led by the Holy Spirit to a very determined answer to certain, to specific questions. So by doing that, you actually solve two problems. You solve the problem of being lied to. You can determine what truth is. You can understand what your place in the world is. You can understand what your function in the body is, which is important because you have to fit into the world. But more important, it's the Bible says that you are part of the body, and every part of the body has its own function. So we all need to function together. We can't try to do each other's jobs. We have to do our own jobs. So everybody has to learn what their job is, what they were designed for. And once you become in a relationship with your creator, that's one of the things he wants to let you know, is what he wants you to do. You know, how can you do your job if he doesn't tell you what it is? So we all have unique skills. You're here on your on the Sharpening Report. You're doing a great job interviewing people, bringing truth out and just putting it there for the world to see. You know, I do my thing. It's I like to kind of pull ideas together and see how they relate to one another and try and get a big picture on the world and, you know, just try and enlighten people on that. You know, other people minister in other ways. So the important point is, though, is to get together a small group where you can, as believers, equal believers, discuss these issues and reach an understanding and a conclusion. Therefore, you get to the truth and you have people that you can be with that are of like mind.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people think of the idea of forming a small group as some huge task that it's going to take so much work and so much resources and I'm going to have to be perfect at everything. But in reality, it's just reaching out to someone next to you and say, hey, do you want to get together and read the Bible together? And then that's what it is. And you just read scripture and then you talk about the ideas. Maybe if you run across something that someone said, that you're listening to a podcast and someone said something interesting, you're like, man, I really want to know more about that. Then go to that person and be like, hey, like, you want to know more about this? And then and walking together through that. That's really all it is. I get messages all the time saying, oh, I'm alone out here. I'm studying this stuff. I'm really trying to be faithful to what God has for me, but I'm just alone. Do you know anyone in my area? And I can't connect people because I don't know who you are, and I don't want to connect you with someone who maybe is being deceitful and looking out to harm people, and so I can't connect people. But what I try to tell people, and my sister does a great job of handling this aspect of the ministry, is reaching out and being like, listen, you can start it. God has given you the gifts and the tools to be able to start the ministry in your own town, in your own home, and that's all it takes is for you to step out and actually move. You know, you have to move, and then God will move with you. And by the, before you know it, you'll have at least one or two people to talk about this stuff. You no longer feel alone.
I agree 100%. Here, let me just give you a little story on how it happened with me. I was going to a regular church, you know, just a regular Protestant church, and it just wasn't doing it. The pastor would tell me one thing, and something totally different would materialize during the week. And I'm like, well, I must be a really terrible person if I can't get any of this stuff to work for me. So something's wrong. And I just realized, well, maybe it's not just me. Maybe this message is wrong. So I took the initiative to find out for myself. Again, find out for yourself. So I started being more diligent in reading the Bible. And in the meantime, I just stopped going to this church, and I didn't have any church, so I just stopped going to a church, period, because the experience was just so disheartening and empty that I just can't do this anymore. But when you don't have a church or a base, if you go out in public and you witness to people, well, you like to tell them, yeah, here's the good news, come on Sunday and be, you know, worship with us, learn with us. But if you don't have a church, then well, how you can't, you don't have any kind of connection or base. So it was just myself and my daughter. We realized that that's a problem. If we're going to witness to people, we need to have some place to send them something, you know, something. So we decided we are just the two of us, just a father and a daughter are going to start a Bible group. Okay, now we have a regular meeting. Now we have something to say, hey, you know, here's the good news. Come and see what it's about. Here's where we are. Here's what we do. Here's the time. So that was kind of the reason why we started it to begin with. But as we got going on it, again, it was just my daughter and myself. And one Sunday morning, a knock on the door. I'm like, well, who's this? And this guy comes walking in that I hadn't seen for probably 2 or 3 years. I'd worked at I'm a carpenter by trade, so I'd worked at this job with this guy like years ago. And we weren't really like good friends, just more of acquaintances. But here he is Sunday morning knocking on my door wanting to learn about the Bible. Now, how does that happen? You know, just out of the blue, no contact, no nothing. He just shows up knocking on my door. And I'm like, well, what's up, Todd? And he's like, well, I was going to the Catholic Church today to go to church with my parents, but I just couldn't do it anymore. And for some reason, I turned on your road and here I am. And that literally is what happened. And he has been with us for years now. He has grown into being just the most amazing Christian man. He has the gift of relating to people that he can express complex ideas and thoughts in a way that is just lighthearted and jovial. And he's just a likable person. And he's just an amazing minister for the Lord. And he just comes to our group and we just become friends. We have breakfast in our Bible study every Sunday morning. And so that has created that connection. So we don't have the loneliness problem per se. Yeah, we're still outcasts in society. People think we're crazy, but so what? You know, we know what's true. We know that the plane spraying all that stuff up in the sky is not just an exhaust. You know, people can ignore all this stuff all they want, but we know what's what. And that's important to me. And so the starting of waking up is very disturbing. It's very isolating. You can find yourself totally alone. You realize that nobody really understands things like you do. You can't really even start up a conversation with people. And you can be run out of your own family. You know, that's how it starts. And so, again, the controllers that be have set up places for people like that to go so they can keep tabs on them, keep filling them with false information. News stories, you know, all this is just nothing but they call it a limited hangout. So they have these little pens created for you to go in. But if you take the initiative to do it yourself, then you are completely outside of their control structure. You don't need to listen to somebody who's gone through years and years of schooling to tell you what the Bible says. You just don't need that. You need an honest, open heart and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to help you as you read whatever it is you're reading. Start a small group, get with some like-minded people, and the thing that happens is you grow together. So instead of having all these people that you're with in the world that are all doing their own thing, growing different ways, now you have a small group of believers who have this in common. This love for the Lord in common, this idea of wanting to know the truth, of being tired of being deceived by everything that's around them. And they want to know what's going on, what their place in the world is, and how they can change it, how they can stand against some of this evil that's all around us. And the only way to do that is to eliminate all of the control structures and to take it right back down to the most basic minimum structure, which is described in the book of Acts. When they get together in houses, in small groups, and they actually get all their belongings and possessions and put them in one single spot and live together communally, you know. Now, in this day and age, I don't know that that's probably not possible, maybe. You know, as we grow, maybe we can do something like that. But, I mean, that should be the goal. That early Acts church is what we should look at as the example of how we should be as believers, how we should remove ourselves from this world structure, from the control mechanisms that are all around us, and step back, try to take a breath, don't take ourselves quite so seriously, and remember who we serve.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. That's really it. You know, do you believe that God can move in your life? Do you believe that he can put someone in your life that will allow you to be that Bible study? Maybe in your life right now, you don't know anyone. Maybe you just moved to a new city and there's just no connections around you. Well, pick a time, go to that same place every time, once a week, And who knows, maybe God's going to put someone right in front of you that you need to talk to, that'll just walk in and say, hey, I saw that you were reading the Bible. Like, what are you reading? Or something like that. And you don't know who God's going to throw in your life. It just takes... You have to make the steps. You have to go out. There's no someone else is going to do it for me, or it's just going to happen on its own. But you have to do things. You know, faith without works is dead, and there's a reason for that. So yeah, that's a great point. As you know, we got about 10 or so minutes left. Is there anything that we didn't get to cover that you really want to cover?
Not really. I mean, I just want to kind of go over what we've already talked about. You know, there's just so many. I just would ask people to, you know, really think about what makes humans tick, you know, how, what kind of input creates what kind of output, you know, and then think about what you're putting into your mind. What are you allowing to go into your mind? Because Jesus said we are to guard our thoughts. That was very specific. So to go back to, again, the idea of waking up is the idea of realizing that what you've been told is not true, that the world exists in a totally different way than what you were led to believe, that your education was nonsense, nothing you learned in school is true, and now what are you going to do? So, again, so you just got to take the initiative yourself. And as you step out in faith, I can almost guarantee, I actually probably can't guarantee, if you're a person of pure heart and really wanting to serve the Lord, and you step out in faith and create this thing that is a Bible study or a home church or whatever you want to call it, small group, if you establish that, the Lord will honor that effort by rewarding the effort, not rewarding you because you're serving the Lord, but by rewarding that effort with success. And you will get people that come to your Bible study group. You will get to witness to people, and he will create situations that you will just be in awe of. How could this even happen? I mean, how could someone show up at my door that I hadn't even seen in years? And here he is, and he's like just ready. And anybody who is already awake has had the experience of trying to tell somebody who doesn't understand what's going on, and they're just so resistant. Anyone who's ever seen the movie They Live and the fight scene when he's just saying, just put the sunglasses on, and the guy says, I ain't putting them on. And that fight scene, if you recall, literally goes on for I don't know how many minutes, but it's ridiculously long in the edit. And I think the reason Carpenter did that was, yeah, that's really what it takes. It takes that long, knockdown, drag-out fight with somebody who you really care about to get them to put those glasses on. And once they finally do put the glasses on, then they go, oh.
Yeah.
So that's really what it takes. So it takes setting up that a space, setting up that space, whether it's and I by space, I mean physical space in your home, or if you have access to a outside facility that you could do it in. But I also mean the spiritual space of setting that apart, okay? Sunday morning is our space here for the Lord. We get together, we fellowship by having breakfast, we play with the kids. You know, we don't always even – it's evolved now to where we don't always – we try to, but things come up. We don't always get to a fully hour-long determined Bible reading and discussion, but just the fellowship of our group, getting together, having breakfast on Sunday morning, and knowing that we're there for each other, that if there's a spiritual need that somebody has a problem with, we haven't even talked about, you know, spiritual warfare and stuff like that, deliverance ministries, but those types of things really do require more than one person. It requires, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered, you know, the Lord says, I am there also. And I think that is not only an invitation to create a small group, right? I mean, what's two or more are gathered, he's going to be there. Well, if he's going to be there, shouldn't you be there too? You know what I mean? So I know that's kind of silly, but really that's the idea behind what we do. And we find it to be extremely empowering. So you can go from that lonely, isolated person who has no friends, who's afraid to talk to anybody because you get ridiculed and laughed at everywhere you go, to all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but in the process, you can become empowered, knowing who you are, knowing where you fit in, and you don't really care if people are laughing at you and think you're nuts, because you know that you are effective, because you are serving the Lord in truth, and He will bless that effort. I mean, I told you the story about Todd coming, but there's also been many other people who have come in and out of our group, people who have gotten saved, who have just learned things they needed to learn, or have given us things that we needed to learn. And it's just been a very amazing, just an amazing spiritual experience, just hosting a small group. And by small, I mean small. It's never been over 5 or 6 people, you know. Sometimes it's just Dawn and I and Todd and the kids. But still, we get a lot out of it. And the Lord respects our effort by saying telling us, I don't mean like He puts words in my head, but you know, He leads us and me specifically into understanding things that we're talking about, whether it's through podcasts or through books that I read or through any number of other sources where He will introduce the truth to us. And of course, He always does it in the mouth of 2 witnesses. So, I mean, it's just very remarkable experience. Mm-hmm. And one more thing I guess I would like to add, since we're wrapping up, is that I would urge people to protect your consciousness, protect your mind, because it's really important. What you put in, garbage out, is really true. So I would strongly urge anyone who's still watching TV, please give it up. It is nothing but harmful. There is nothing worthwhile on TV. None of the news is true. In fact, the news stands for, it's actually an acronym, and it stands for North, East, West, and South. It's telling you what you need to think, okay? It's programming. It's telling you what they want you to do. Stop watching it. It has no value. It's only detrimental. Same thing with Hollywood movies. It's entertainment. Entertainment means to enter. Okay, that's simple. Tain means to hold. Ment means your mind, mental. So what that word means is to enter your brain into your mind, to grab it and hold it, and then use it for their purposes. And I don't think any of us really would welcome these evil, nefarious controllers of this world open access to our minds so they can use our minds for their purposes. And that's in essence what you're doing when you are allowing yourself to be entertained, or if you believe what somebody else says, as we talked about early in the show, when you base your understanding in the world on somebody else's opinion, that's what you end up with. You end up with somebody else holding your mentality. And I think that the Lord was real clear when He said, it's your choice, choose life or choose death. So if you choose to participate in the world system to that magnitude, then you are literally choosing death, because you are cutting off any life-giving sustenance which might come into your body, into your spirit. So it's important to reject those things. And it seems hard at first for people that like to watch TV, because it's something to do. But believe me, once you give it up and get away from it and start putting actual useful information in here instead of useless junk, oh man, I can't even explain the difference that occurs. You just are a completely different person. It's part of the waking up process, is to take charge of who programs your mental capacity. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be you and not someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. That's well said. And this hour flew by, so I appreciate coming on the show. Thank you so much. And I'll definitely have you back on.
Well, that's good to know.
All right, guys, that's our show this week. Listen, there are people leaving the mainstream church in droves because they don't have any truth in them. They can't hear the false narrative that's being pushed down their throats every day. They're leaving consistently. That means the harvest is ready. It means people like you need to step up and start groups on your own to reach out to those people, because those people leaving the church, there's a lot of other things calling their name, whether it be postmodernism, the New Age, whether it be the political field of activism and things like that. There is a reason that all those things are screaming so loud, is because they want the consciousness and they want the mind of the people leading the church. But we need to step up as well and start small groups to reach out to those people and start to reignite the body of Christ and get them re-excited about scripture, get them re-excited about Jesus and all that he's done, and really take it to the new world order, take it to Satan that's trying to take over our world, and take back our, whether it be our country, our world, but most importantly, take back our minds and take back the souls that are God's to begin with. So thank you guys all so much for watching. I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but you know I appreciate you do. Hope you enjoy the show, and I hope that you have a great week. Good.
Cue the music.
So, do you have a favorite joke?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah, I expect big things here.
Oh.
Just kidding. Okay.
In that case, no, I guess I don't. How about two Adams were walking down the street, and one of them said, "Oh, no, I think I've lost an electron." The other one said, "Are you sure?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm positive."
Oh, classic.